Ed Wyatt for Moorabbin Indoor Sports and the new Jump Central Trampoline Centre. Enjoy a world of high flying. Go to jumpcentral.com.au.
Always good to see Eduardo on a Wednesday afternoon. Hello, pal.
It's good to be here, and weather certainly, we talked about it last week, certainly has become a Pacific Northwest sort of week this week, hasn't it? The wind whipping in, off the Pacific Ocean, but that's not really the case here. But it's got that sort of feel about it, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Got that sort of feel. And you haven't really, you know, they passed a law a while back, a rule in most Northwest football leagues that your field has to be artificial turf. Because it just gets torn up. And we're talking about being used by football, soccer, you know, all sorts of different sports. And so, you know, you can imagine, like, last night would be, you know, that's sort of your par for the course in Aberdeen, Washington, or Forks, Washington. It's just like that all year long in the winter. Yeah, so you have to play on an artificial surface because it just becomes a quagmire.
You wouldn't live there by choice, would you?
Probably not. I mean, unless you were a logger or, you know, dedicated to finding out everything you can about Nirvana.
I would think that would be one.
My dad's famous quote about Aberdeen, he went and played a game there once. I think it was a 3-3 tie. It was foggy and could barely see the field, and it was one of those. It's not his saying, but he was one of those, you know, not the end of the earth, but you can see it from there. He said, my dad said that about Aberdeen, Washington, one time.
Is it the end of the earth for Tom Brady?
No, it is not the end of the earth. And I think, to be honest with you, Harf, I think this is a great result. I think this is a great result for everyone. Unlike the Essendon saga, it's not going to go on or shouldn't go on much longer once this gets solved. Yep. They may appeal. There may be some of that. But I think in doing this, the league basically and remember, this league is more like a dictatorship in a sense. It's not like the AFL. It's not tied into government and things like that. So they can just sort of go, here's my decision. Roger Goodell can sort of make that decision. Can't really do that with WADA and ASADA and all those parties involved. But I think the idea of fining the Patriots, they lose some draft picks, Brady suspended 4 games, which I don't, you know, he may appeal, he may get 2, I don't know, we'll see how that pans out, but I think that is a good solution, because the flip side is, you say to Brady, you know, we've got some evidence, and I know a lot of people said circumstantial, blah, 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 but they've got mobile phone records and discussions with employees of the Patriots. Brady wouldn't turn those over, by the way, to the investigator. He wanted to, he kept his own mobile phones, which he's allowed to do, but I think they would say, we can go deep if you want, we can go hard on this, Tom, and we can dig up some stuff and we can look at other things. People are looking at fumble rates of the Patriots, very low over the last number of years compared to other teams. Does the deflated ball help with that? I don't know. So I think this is just an admission or sort of a, you know, here's what we got, here's what we want you to accept. And I think the Patriots, my gut feeling is they may do a little appeal, but I don't think they'll fight it that hard.
Well, if I was Tom Brady, I was married to Giselle, I wouldn't hand over my phone either, just in case there's some some photos on there.
Good point.
just let's assume, Ed, that this actually did happen, and everyone did is alleged to have happened, and clearly the NFL have agreed with that part of it. Do you think it's the first time clubs have been doing this? Quarterbacks
no,
have been
not
doing
at all.
This?
Well, Aaron Rodgers admits he likes the balls overinflated and would love it to be no limit at all.
So is that just as big a,
no, he hasn't done it. He said he likes a ball that's inflated to the max and would happily have it go further. He doesn't think there should be any rules on it. So other quarterbacks have said they do this kind of stuff all the time. Other quarterbacks have said, I never did it. So, but yes, you can bet that it would be, because each team can prepare their own footballs.
Yep.
Not like the AFL, you know, here come the balls and we give them to you. The teams can actually have their own footballs. And this goes back to high school. High school football, same way, Harf. You can use your own football. So you can use a different brand. You can use a different style.
Yep.
Within reason, obviously, you can't use a football that's got like a remote control radar on it or something, but you know, yeah, I know, but yeah, so I think it has been going on. I think, again, and I said this at the time, if this were the Houston Texans, if this were the Minnesota Vikings, you wouldn't have as big an issue. But you've got the Spygate history with New England, you've got the ineligible receiver play that John Harbaugh was upset about, which was legal but was just skirting the rules of legality in terms of running guys in and out with numbers and switching numbers and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So it is the Patriots. They have history, quote unquote, and I think that's why this became a much bigger story than it may have been with another team. And they're successful.
Yeah.
You know, let's not forget, they are successful, and they've been very successful on their own without cheating. They've done a great job. Obviously, Brady is a superstar, but they've brought in guys that are troubled, like LeGarrette Blount, like Corey Dillon in the past, that other teams really didn't have any use for, and they've won Super Bowls. So, you know, you can't say the Patriots success is tainted, in my opinion. Does it taint Brady's legacy? That's a very good question. We'll have to wait and see. The worst thing he did, Harf, was lie. He said at that press conference that I know nothing about inflating football. I know anything. I don't even handle them or whatever he said, when clearly evidence points to the fact that he's obsessed with having these footballs in exact certain way. That was a huge mistake, and that's probably his advisors probably let him down on that one.
So who takes his role for the first 4 weeks?
I'm not sure the backup. Is it Ryan Mallett still? I think he was traded. Actually, they got the young kid Garoppolo, I think, last year, who was from a smaller school. I can't quite remember. But yeah, they'll get somebody ready. Don't get me wrong. You know, they'll be fine with that.
And has the NFL decided that they might start to take charge of all the balls?
I don't know that. I would assume they would put more moves into place that would do that. I would think they would have to do that, without a doubt. But I think what you're going to find is the story sort of goes away. I think, you know, there'll be reminders of it, but it's not going to keep dragging on and on and on, I don't think, the way the Essendon thing has.
Oh, hopefully not, for everyone's sake. 12 to 1. We'll get to a break after that. We've got some playoff action we need to get our teeth into. Eduardo. Ed White is with us from Urban Indoor Sports Centre. Can't see Mark Bradke. Jump on one of the trampolines and high-five him. It's the only way you get there. We'll be back shortly.
On 11.16 SEN, halftime with Daniel Harford for boozebids.com.au. Bid, win and save on Australia's largest range of booze and the Photon Tunland, the only ute that comes with the legendary Cummins engine.
This hour for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway. Ed White with us on a Wednesday afternoon. And are you telling me, Ed White,
yes,
that the LA Clippers have never been in the Western Conference Finals before?
They are the epitome of a bad franchise. When you open the dictionary,
never.
You see a team photo of the LA Clippers from the 80s when they won 9 games in a season. They won, I think, 41 games once in 3 straight seasons total. 41. Like, in 3 seasons. That's not very good.
That's not very good.
They were unsuccessful. They started out in Buffalo. Buffalo Braves. I think they played 10 years maybe in Buffalo.
Right.
Made the playoffs 3 times, moved to San Diego, became the San Diego Clippers, never made the playoffs in San Diego, then went to Los Angeles, 30 seasons in L.A., not counting this year, they made it 7 times the postseason. So not a great franchise.
No,
and
it's not great history.
And you're in the shadow of one of the greatest franchises in American sport, the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
Magic, Shaq, Kobe, Kareem, James Worthy, Jack Nicholson. Laker girls.
Where did he play? Point guard or
he played
the post?
Front row. He played wherever he wanted to play. So it made it even worse. In fact, I was just thinking back. I had a good friend named Robert. And Robert was a good man. Harvey was a bartender, a friend of my wife's. He took some acting classes, of course, acting bartender in L.A.
In L.A., that's what happens.
But he was one of those guys that would slip you kind of a sly drink or two on the side, and then you kind of make it up in tips, you know. Thanks,
yeah.
Robert. But Robert was probably the only Clipper fan I knew in Los Angeles back in the 90s, and they were terrible. He was the only one. I mean, you really wouldn't admit you're a Clipper fan, honestly.
Right.
They played in the Sports Arena, which was a terrible old arena in a bad part of town, drew about 9,000 people. Just not a great thing. They had the whole thing with the owner, of course, Donald Sterling, and his racist comments, forced to sell the team. Now we're seeing a rejuvenation, which is great. Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, eliminating the Spurs. If they can knock off the Rockets, then they'll get into that Western Conference final for the first time, which would be great. And they're going to play either Golden State or Memphis, which they're good stories themselves. This is a great story. I mean,
so
I'm really looking forward to it.
They're 3-1 up in the series.
They should. They're behind today against Houston, but they should be able to win that, we would hope. Play Golden State or Memphis, and then, of course, you're looking at Cleveland, which won today, to go up 3-2 on Chicago. Who knows about Washington and Atlanta, but you think maybe Cleveland against – how great would Cleveland against the Clippers be? Seriously, LeBron against Blake Griffin and Chris Paul?
That'd be cool.
I'm on the Clipper bandwagon, Harf. I just thought
of that. Big
time,
you
are.
Yeah. So what about the Golden State-Memphis
Yeah, that's been a tight one. That's a really interesting series. A couple of very different teams. There have been some tremendous performances, I think, by Memphis, but the Warriors exerted themselves back on the series the other day to tie it up. So I think that could go to the wire, Harf. That could go 7 games.
Great
could
series, that is. And we'll keep you abreast of that on SEN, Sports Central Plus, be all over that sort of stuff. Tell me about Etihad Stadium's role in college football.
Remember, I mentioned there was a potential bowl game.
Yep.
I did mention that. I've done a little research. It is Etihad behind it. Etihad Stadium is behind it. There's no genius locally like Lou Sticca or anybody like that involved.
Okay.
It's Etihad Stadium. Paul Sargent, who's the mover and shaker down there, he's been in charge. I think the Millennium Stadium, worked at Wimbledon. He really is a real big thinker. He's been over in the States talking to the Pac-12, which is Oregon, UCLA, USC, Washington State, that conference, and the Mountain West, which is Utah State, Nevada, Las Vegas, Hawaii, those schools like that. Those would be the two conferences involved, as I understand it, coming out here in probably late December 2016 to play a bowl game at Etihad Stadium.
Fantastic.
So that is in the works.
All right, well, that's good. It's not quite the NFL a lot of people are calling for, but it's a college team.
Which makes that makes the most sense because the college season is over. The bowl games are played generally in December and a little bit into January. The NFL is still playing. It's just too long away for a team to fly to play a regular season game.
We're going to need to get to a break in one, but we've got more to talk about after the break, including a rematch of one of the great contests in sporting history, in my mind anyway. I'll talk more about that after this.
On 1116 SEN, halftime with Daniel Harford for boozebids.com.au. Bid, win and save on Australia's largest range of booze and the Photon Tunland, the only ute that comes with the legendary Cummins engine.
Eduardo, I was in Limerick one day and I saw the Wallabies take on the US in a World Cup. It looked like that's going to be replayed.
Them. It is in Chicago. Second year in a row, there's going to be a game in Chicago. The All Blacks played last year, Team USA in Chicago. Got 61,000. Sellout on a college football weekend, which is really good. So the Wallabies are going to do the same. September 5th is part of their preparations for the World Cup.
Nice.
Yeah, very good.
And people would warm to that like they did
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it'd be expat. A lot of expat Aussies, obviously, in the rugby community from around the U.S. I don't think your average walk-up crowd will be there, but Chicago fans are great sports fans, probably in the top two or three in the state. So very excited about that. Ice hockey rolling hard for Anaheim and Chicago will play for the Western Conference Final. They dispatched their opponents quickly. Tampa Bay moved on today. The Lightning will play either Washington or the Rangers game seven tomorrow, which will be massive.
Who wins it?
I'm going to go with the Rangers.
Rangers to win it. So it'll be Tampa Bay and the Rangers in the East. Thank you, Eduardo.
Good to see you, buddy.
See you next week.